Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher. I'm Bob Davis, and if it's 3 p.m. Central Time, you're hearing Basic Gospel live, and the phone lines are open at 844-322-2742. If you have Bible questions or if you're struggling with some life issue, perhaps something surrounding the virus and so forth, well, we invite you to call and speak directly with us right now. The number again, 844-322-2742. If you're hearing a delayed broadcast on CSN or Sirius XM, you can get your questions to us in the same way, the same voicemail number. That number, of course, 844-322-2742, and that's good in the U.S. and Canada. Either way, give us a call right now because it's Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob, and welcome to all our listeners to this edition of Basic Gospel. As Bob said, we would love to hear from you on today's program, 844-322-2742, 844-322-2742. So go ahead and call right now. We've been looking at verses of assurance all month, and certainly in this crazy, chaotic world we live in, assurance is a breath of fresh air to know that we are secure in Christ, assured of our salvation. And here's one of my favorite passages, and here's it's really a signature passage of the ministry, Romans 5, verses 8 through 10. It starts like this: "But God shows his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." So this whole gospel story starts with the love of God. It's compelled by the love of God, fueled by the love of God. It's his love that brings everything about and pushes it forward. And so he shows us his love for us, and that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. And since, therefore, we have now been justified by his blood. So through the death of Jesus Christ, we are made right in the sight of God. We are given the righteousness of God. We are made righteous. So since we have been made righteous, since we have been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. So there is a coming judgment at the end of the ages. Yeah. And those who rejected Jesus Christ are going to be condemned, and they are going to suffer eternal punishment, as Paul writes in one of his letters to the Thessalonians. And there's a great fear of that in people's hearts and minds, and they're scared to death to die because they know once they've died, then comes judgment.
Right.
And if they're not in Christ, that judgment is not going to be a good judgment. But here's some assurance for us, those of us who have been justified by the blood of Jesus Christ: we are going to be saved by him from the wrath of God. So that is good news. We don't have to fear death. We don't have to fear that coming judgment. Our judgment has already been declared eternal life in Jesus Christ.
Yes.
That's our judgment. We are going to be with him forever, alive forever, with God forever, in his presence. Boy, that is good news. So we are saved from the wrath to come. "For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son." So when we were in our worst condition, when we were rebellious toward God, when we were living to gratify the desires of the flesh, when we were at odds with God, God sent Jesus, and he reconciled us to him through the death of Jesus Christ. So how much more, now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life? So this is one of those great summary verses as far as salvation is concerned. We were reconciled to God through the death of Jesus Christ, and we are saved by his life. So what is salvation? It's being made alive together with Christ. It's when we hear the good news of Jesus, we respond in faith. And when we respond in faith, Jesus Christ gives himself to us. His life now becomes our life. We are made alive together with him. So that's good news.
Yes.
So we have great assurance. So if you're looking for assurance today, if you're feeling a little shaky in your relationship with Christ Jesus, if you're wondering if you're really right with God, well, these three verses will clear that up for you. It will just cut through that confusion and bring clarity to your thinking, and it will bring an abundance of thankfulness to your heart. So let me just read it again. But God shows his love for us, and that while we were sinners, still sinners, Christ died for us. Since, therefore, we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if, while we were his enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, how much more, now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life? Romans 5, 8 through 10.
That's great basic gospel news, Bob. Thank you for sharing that. Friends, thank you for being with us. If you would like to join us by phone, you can give us a call right now at 844-322-2742. Calls beginning to come in. We're glad to see those calls on the board. We would love to hear from you as well. Again, 844-322-2742. Here at Basic Gospel, we have many excellent resources to help you, our listeners, live every day in the grace of God. And to say thank you for standing with us in support of Basic Gospel in September, we want to send you a copy of our latest resource that Bob has prepared called Trail of Assurance, and he's been talking about that all this month. As Bob points out, from start to finish, the Bible tells you that you are loved by God, and we want you to have bedrock assurance of this truth as you walk through life every day. Trail of Assurance. Request your copy when you make your September gift to support Basic Gospel, and you can do that by clicking donate at basicgospel.net. And remember, we need your help today as the COVID-19 virus has really taken a toll, not only on people, but also on support for Basic Gospel as a ministry. But this is not the time to pull back. So many people are still unsure of life right now, and we need to be here every day to assure them that God's love is prominent and his promise is there that he'll never leave us, he'll never abandon us. So it's critical right now that we have your support. So again, go online, click donate at basicgospel.net, and we would love for you to partner with us.
Yes, indeed. Well, let's go to our phone lines, Bob, and start with Marie listening to us in New Jersey. Hi, Marie.
Hi, how are you guys? I have a question regarding dispensation. I think I'm asking the perfect person. I've been reading a book that says that the Gospels are divided and that the Pauline Gospels are only for the Gentiles, and they even and that the first four Gospels, they're strictly written for the Jews. And that, you know, when Jesus in the book of Matthew, when he said they're really only speaking. And I understand what they're saying about only speaking to the Jews, but and then they're disregarding from Hebrews to Revelation. They say that's also for strictly like the Jewish. So can you explain that a little bit better than the way they're, or do you agree with it? Should I say that it's divided? And, you know, I don't understand. You know what I'm trying to say? They're saying that only the gospel of Paul, Paul's a separate gospel is what they're saying. And I know the Bible does say that. And the revelation was given to, Jesus gave the revelation to Paul to preach to the Gentiles. But I've read the book of Acts, and Peter was actually with, if I'm not mistaken, didn't he actually preach to Cornelius? I mean, am I right about that? I'm not sure.
Absolutely, Marie. And this is an excellent question, and the question is based on a passage in Timothy about rightly dividing the word of God. And it was made, you know, this whole dispensational theology was brought to the forefront by C.I. Schofield and his study reference Bible. And he divided the Word of God into seven different dispensations. And he said God acts toward man in each dispensation in a different way. Man fails the test, and then that leads to the next dispensation in which God acts toward man appropriate to that dispensation. And when you read the Word of God, you know, that just doesn't hold together. God has always acted toward man in the same way, in love and loving kindness and grace and mercy. When he showed up in Abraham's life, Marie, he brought blessings and promises. So he treated Abraham with grace, and as Abraham believed God, God reckoned that to him as righteousness, credited that righteousness to his account. And Abraham became the father of us all, the father of faith for both Jew and Gentile. And in that promise to Abraham, he said, through your seed, the whole world is going to be blessed. So this promise to Abraham was not just to the Jew, it was to both Jew and Gentile. And when Christ came into the world, he offered himself to both Jew and Gentile. And when Paul went out preaching the good news of Jesus Christ, he went first to the Jew and then to the Gentile. And in his letters, for example, in Ephesians chapter 1, he has information directed toward the Jews that would be in the church at Ephesus, and he has information directed toward the Gentiles. So he said, you Jews were close by. You were given all of these great things, and you Gentiles were far away. But now in Christ, you have been made one in him. You are one new body, Jew and Gentile, standing together as brothers and sisters in Christ. So it's I think, a wrong statement to say that Paul was just writing to Gentiles. No, he was writing to believers, believers who were once Jewish and believers who were once Gentile, who were now standing together as one in Jesus. And I think it's wrong to say that the writers of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, were simply writing to the Jew. Luke was a Gentile. So this is a story of God revealing himself to each and every one of us in the person of Jesus Christ. Now, getting back to your question, Marie, as far as divisions in the Bible, there's one that I think we need to look at and be very clear about. We see Paul writing specifically about the law and the purpose of the law, and then he talks about the purpose of grace. So we see a division between the old covenant, that Mosaic covenant, the law, and the new covenant. So the old covenant started at Mount Sinai after the Exodus. That's when it started, and it ended at the cross of Jesus Christ. Also at the cross of Jesus Christ, he ushered in the new covenant. So the old came to an end, and this eternal new covenant started when Christ died on that cross, because a will only go into effect when the one who made it dies. So this was the will of God for you and me. When Jesus hung on the cross and died, he ushered in this new covenant. So this new covenant is now in effect. And as believers, we are new covenant believers. We're not old covenant believers. We're new covenant believers. And Paul was very clear on the difference between the two. The old was a ministry of condemnation and death. This new is a ministry of righteousness and life. A big difference there, isn't it? But the old covenant had a purpose, and that purpose was to give you the knowledge of sin. It was to reveal to you your condition apart from Christ. And once that purpose was fulfilled for you, Marie, and you turned to Christ for salvation, the old covenant stepped aside and gave way to the Lord Jesus Christ. And now you live in this new covenant. So that's the distinction, that's the division that's important for us to recognize as far as the Word of God is concerned. And that's something that Paul and the other writers of the New Testament pay a lot of attention to. The fact that the law had it was time stamped, it was temporal, it had a ministry of condemnation and death attached to it, and it gave way to this new covenant that we live in today. So the idea that there's two different gospels, one for the Jew, one for the Gentile, there's two distinct people of God, Israel and the church, and all of this, it just really gets confusing. I mean, Paul said it best, if anybody gives you another gospel other than the one I've preached, let him be forever accursed. So if that's
the one I'm sorry, that's the one they use to try to make their point about that. Yeah. They use that, and I'm like, they use that scripture to say that means that there's two gospels, and that's
well, it can't mean that. If Paul says, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, if anybody gives you another gospel other than the one I preach, let him be forever accursed. So if Paul was, if Peter was preaching a different gospel than what Paul was preaching, then Peter should be accursed according to Paul. And if Jesus brought in a different gospel, if he was teaching a different gospel than what Paul was saying, then Paul's words would condemn Jesus. And that's just not the case. So there's one gospel. It's about Jesus. It's the message concerning Jesus, his death, his burial, his resurrection. When Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost, guess what he preached? The death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. When he went to Samaria and he recognized that there were open hearts in Samaria, what did he confirm to them? The death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. When he went to Cornelius, the Gentile and his family, what did he preach? The death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. What did Paul say the gospel was? The death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. What does Peter and James and John and Paul all agree upon? That one singular message, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is the good news. That is the single gospel. That's the gospel that saves. There is no other gospel. And anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord is made alive together with Christ, receives the gift of the Holy Spirit, and is added to the body of Jesus Christ. Does that make sense to you?
Yes, it does. It makes sense, because I've been reading this book about that, and I was wondering, I'm trying to learn as much as I can, and I try to take different perspectives, but I got confused, because I'm like, I'm not seeing what they're seeing completely. They're taking scriptures and, they're making it their own, and I'm like, I don't agree with this. And I asked the right person. I asked you.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you called, Marie. This is an important question. It's a theology that I don't think really holds up to the scrutiny of Scripture. So when you line it up with what the Word of God has to say, and you really see the unfolding story of God's testimony concerning His Son from Genesis to Revelation, and then try to fit that theology in it, you do have to start dissecting the Word of God and saying, this is for this group and this is for that group. And you keep dicing it up and dicing it up and dicing it up. And pretty soon there are some within that camp that say there are really only four of Paul's letters that apply to Gentiles. So they've even diced it up that much. And I just don't think, like I said, I just don't think that holds water at all. There's one singular story in the Word of God. It's God's testimony concerning His Son. There's one gospel message. It's the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that story, that offer of life is available to anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord.
Marie, you've exercised some wonderful discernment here, and Bob has packed a lot of information into his answer. So if you'd like to review that later today after the program gets posted, you can go to basicgospel.net and just click the radio drop-down menu, and the very first item there is the radio archive. So this entire program will be there, and you can review this answer as well. But great call, and thank you for reaching out, Marie.
Absolutely. Well, let's go to Louisville, Kentucky, and talk to Mary Jo.
If I can remember I have a friend, she's a Christian, but she says you've got to get right with God and you've got to do the right things. And I just sat there and I didn't know what to say. And it didn't digest well with me for some reason.
Yeah. Well, Mary Jo, as far as a believer is concerned, you're already right with God. So you have been justified by His blood, just what we read at the very top of the broadcast. So when you come to faith in Jesus Christ, when you hear the good news and respond in faith, you are justified. You are made righteous, declared right in the sight of God. So that's a gift. That's a free gift that you receive. You've been justified freely by his grace. All who receive the gift of righteousness will reign with him in eternal life. So you, any believer has already been made right with God. So you could respond back and say, I've already been declared righteous. God's righteousness has been credited to my account, has been imputed to me. I have been made righteous. So that's good news, isn't it?
And yeah, and once you ask him in, he'll never leave nor forsake, right?
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. So you are righteous in the sight of God because of the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Now, can you stray from this truth? I mean, I guess you can, right?
Well, as far as your thinking is concerned, as far as your actions are concerned, certainly your actions aren't always going to line up with the reality of who you are in Christ. And certainly your thinking isn't always going to line up with the reality of who you are in Christ. But our thinking and our actions don't determine our identity. The death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ determines that. And when we receive him, into our lives. He becomes our life, and we are right in the sight of God. And that's good news. And because we're right in the sight of God, even when our thinking doesn't line up with this truth or our actions don't line up with this truth, our hearts can be assured of the salvation that we have in Jesus. Why? Because he has guaranteed it by his work on the cross.
And what about doing the right things?
Well, that's gonna flow out of understanding who you are. So when you start to realize that you're righteous in the sight of God, that you're a new creation, some of those old things that you used to do just don't fit anymore. They feel awkward. Why? Because it doesn't line up with who you are. And as your mind gets renewed, you start to see that your actions follow suit. That's just the way God's rigged this thing, and it's a really good deal for you and me.
Okay. Well, pray for our city. We're going through lockdown tonight over Breonna Taylor's decision with the court.
Yes. Well, we certainly will, Mary Jo, and I appreciate you bringing that up. We certainly have a lot of civil unrest, a lot of tensions that people are experiencing and that sort of thing. It just really made my heart sad to see the news reports of all the different businesses in downtown Louisville boarding up their windows.
Right.
And to think that, we're going to expect violence and rioting and looting and those sort of things. It's like, come on, people. This is America. This is a land where virtue is important. And why can't we recognize that and live out, the citizenry of being an American citizen? Well, Mary Jo, thank you. Thanks for your call, and we certainly appreciate your question and your request to pray for Louisville, and we certainly encourage our listeners to do so as well.
Yes, indeed. I saw the video of those businesses, Bob, boarded up, and you think you would do that in the face of a coming hurricane, but you just don't think about it in case of a civil society.
Yes,
you just don't.
Absolutely.
Well, friends, thank you for being with us today. Remember to post your voicemail questions to us overnight at 844 844- 844-322-2742. Again, 844-322-2742. Also, keep in mind that Basic Gospel is a listener-supported ministry, and we need your support now to help keep the good news coming. As always, you can make your gift at basicgospel.net. And as you make your September donation, request your copy of our new resource called Trail of Assurance. It's our gift to you to say thanks for your contribution to the support of Basic Gospel. Well, now for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to be back again tomorrow, same time, for Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.